Welcome to Here I Am, Lord, a weekly faith-filled program about learning to say yes to Jesus in the ordinary moments of everyday life. Join Marta Kyle as she invites you to grow in faith, recognize God's voice in daily life, and discover simple ways to follow Christ more faithfully each day.
Well, welcome, welcome.
Welcome, welcome. We're back.
We're back. We missed you last week. We hope you had a wonderful time with our good buddy and brother-in-law, Zach, and Rich Van Fossen as they spoke to you about the Eucharistic pilgrimage.
Yes.
Yeah. And the Cabrini Way.
Yeah.
So we hope that you enjoyed that series and hearing all about it. And we hope you marked your calendars and you'll get ready to join us on our July's part of the celebration of the 250 years. And
I think the information will be on the website.
Yeah, shortly. We're going to get that up. And we would like to say that today's program is being brought to you by Doris Kelly. She's sponsoring today's program. Doris is offering this hour of programming for the Holy Souls in Purgatory. So thank you. That was beautiful. Very generous. Doris is always thinking of everybody else, never herself. So we appreciate you on this solemnity of the Ascension of our Lord. It's a very special day, right?
It is.
Yeah. We've had a really special week. Yeah. We've had Mother's Day on Sunday, so we wish everyone a very happy Mother's Day. Right? Every day is Mother's Day. And yesterday was Our Lady of Fatima.
I love it.
Yeah. That was a beautiful day.
109th anniversary.
Yeah. And then today is the Ascension.
Lots going on.
Lots going on. So we have a lot to talk to you about. And if you have anything to say to us, please feel free to call in to that 610-527-2906 or toll free at 888-343-2484. So we're excited about today's program, and I want to open with a little prayer.
Sure.
Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, whose Son today ascended to the heavens, as the apostles looked on, grant, we pray, that in accordance with his promise, we may be worthy for him to live with us always on earth, and we with him in heaven, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. So it's a special day. Hopefully everyone, if they haven't gotten to Mass already, gets to Mass tonight.
Hallelujah.
Nice. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And we are doing the series on the Ten Commandments, so today we are on the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. So we'll talk to you a little bit about that. And as a recap, the first three commandments that we went over in these last few weeks were, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me.
Mm-hmm.
Do not take the Lord's name in vain.
Correct.
We did that. Keep holy the Sabbath day.
Right. That was a great one.
Mm-hmm. And today is honor your father and your mother. And this fourth commandment is the one that really bridges the two tablets of the Decalogue, right?
Yes.
So it's opens the second.
The first three were our relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And 4 to 10, our relationship with each other.
Yep. It shows us the order of charity. God willed that after him, we should honor our parents and all relationships. Really, it extends beyond the parents to whom we owe our life. And they handed on to us the knowledge, our knowledge of God and our knowledge of the faith are our first teachers.
Knowledge of the faith, yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's our job.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we just passed Mother's Day.
We certainly did.
You know.
Father's Day is coming up in June.
Mm-hmm.
That's the next one, so.
And your first job as a parent is to pass the faith on.
Yeah, yeah. So it's funny that we're doing this, and it kind of fell right in between those two.
And everything falls into place.
Yeah, it always does. God always
and
has a plan.
We find that shocking.
I know.
Like, wait, how come we, every time we plan the show,
yeah,
everything falls into this place?
Yeah.
You know, like,
it's so funny.
Like God doesn't have a plan.
Right. Like we, as if we really planned the show.
As if we planned it, right.
Absolutely. So we were both speaking about the show today. And yesterday in the Magnificat, we were both struck by the, it was written by, she's not, Lucia. Yeah, she's right. Not a saint yet, so blessed Lucia. And she had the most beautiful reflection on Fatima, obviously, since she was the seer.
Right, the messages of Our Lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really beautiful. And...
well, what she says is...
this one.
Right. But before that, she's basically talking about Our Lady's messages were reform your life and do penance for your sins.
Right.
Pray the rosary every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then she also wrote this meditation.
Meditation. It's really beautiful. So we're just going to read it to you. So get your listening ears on. Our Lady... well, it's titled Guided into the Truth of God's Love. Our Lady ended her series of spoken messages at Fatima, saying, "Do not offend the Lord our God anymore, because he is already so much offended. And we offend God when we transgress his law, the commandments. The moment we transgress one of his laws, we create a void in our love. How can a son say he loves his father if in his father's own house he disobeys and despises his orders, his instructions, his favors, and his caresses? All sin on our part is a breach of love." It's a very profound statement.
It is.
It's beautiful. "Jesus Christ is the manifestation of the Father's love. This love was sent into the world to be poured into the hearts of men and enkindle in them the fire of that charity which burns and consumes him for the good of his children, so as to unite them in the same perfection of supernatural life, of faith, and of love of him who created and saved them. God is love. St. John tells us, God gives himself to us through love, and this love, when it is kindled in a heart, softens everything, sweetens everything, because it extinguishes the fire of unruly passions and it smooths the way of holiness, which consists in the observance of the divine law through love. It is then that the person's love for God becomes more fervent and the union between them is made closer by strong and unbreakable bonds until this love becomes the person's very life. And led by this love, such a person gives himself completely to God and to others for the love of God. What one then desires is to communicate to others this treasure of grace and happiness, which we ourselves now possess within us, to make the way smooth for them and to help them to continue on the way, so that they may enjoy the same good fortune which has made us happy." And that is love.
Love, yeah.
Isn't that a beautiful reflection?
It's so fabulous. It's in the Magnificat from yesterday.
From yesterday.
But there's so many good points in it.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. How about, I mean, Our Lady's message was, "Do not offend the Lord our God anymore, because he is already so much offended. And we offend God when we transgress his law, the commandments." I mean, that one we were like, what? We're doing the commandments. That's so crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's important to pay attention to the Ten Commandments. They're not something that are old school or old fashioned or out of date or, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really the Lord's, you know, he gives us directions on how to lead a happy life. If you mm-hmm. don't do these things, you'll be happy. If you do these things, they're going to make you sad. They're going to send you down a rabbit hole. You're going to, you know.
Problems. It's he understood.
Sin. Mm-hmm. It's a breach of love. These things, if done, breach the love between God and man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Essentially what she's saying.
What right? she's saying, yeah.
Yeah.
So that we were really struck by that. It was beautiful.
And here, and it says it creates a void in our love.
Mm-hmm.
How can you say you love the Father and then go against?
And then go against.
I mean, and read the Ten Commandments. I don't know that any of us hasn't in one way or another.
Right.
Fallen.
Strayed from them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you get up.
And you get back on the path.
Right. Mm-hmm. Do penance.
Mm-hmm.
Go to confession.
Yep.
And get back in good.
Yeah. And those were instructions from Our Lady. And she is our mother. And she loves us. And she wants to see us happy. And on the path to God. Because it would be the desire of her heart that we spend eternity with the Father. She wants us where she is. We're her children. And that's why it's also so fitting that Doris dedicated today's program to the souls of purgatory.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is good, and he's all merciful, and he's all love. And we all fall short of the glory of God.
And he wants us
all with
him. That's
what Kathleen says, right?
So he gives...
And he wants us all with us, so right. We're lucky. Purgatory is a gift.
It is a gift.
Mm-hmm. Gives us extra time to purify ourselves. So that's what... that was just a beautiful...
Fatima read, May 13th. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we thought it was worth revisiting that for a second. Before yes. we jump into today's meditations, because yes. It was magnificent, and it all ties in
from Saint Lucia, right?
Yes.
So that was beautiful.
Yeah, not yet saint, but she's
vulnerable.
Yeah.
Pardon me. Pardon me. The other two are saints already. The cousins. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. So today we're going to talk about
Ascension Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Our Lady of Fatima. But today is Ascension Thursday. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to read the gospel?
Sure. Today's gospel, we thought we would do it first. We usually do it in the second half of the hour, but we're going to do it in the first half today. So today is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord.
Glory to you, Lord. How was that for me? I'm just waiting in the background.
Okay. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So we see it a little bit again there. He's telling us.
Everything's coming together.
Yeah. To follow the commandments, teach them everything I've commanded you. That definitely includes the Ten Commandments. And everything he commanded. I mean, Jesus always, and Mary too, they honored the Father, his Father in heaven. He was always honoring his Father.
Right. And that's today's commandment.
And that is today's commandment. Honor your father and your mother.
And it talks about the disciples were with him. They were all together.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And he took them to the mountain he had ordered them to go to, which was the Mount of Olives.
The Mount of Olives, yes.
Which was a very holy mountain.
Yeah. And then a couple things we looked up. What happened on the Mount of Olives, just to refresh our memories, because I was joking with Tara and I said, there's so many mounts in these Gospels and in the history of the Bible. And I can never remember like which one happened on Tabor and which happened on Sinai and what happened on Carmel and which happened on the Mount of Olives. So I was like, I have to refresh myself, remember what exactly happened on the Mount of Olives. I mean, everybody else might know, but
four
my poor
major
brain.
Things for Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one was David's flight. So King David fled over the Mount of Olives while he was trying to escape his son Absalom and the rebellion.
And we were talking about how does that fit into honor your father and your mother.
Exactly.
He was running away from his own son.
Yeah, because his son was trying to kill him. So
right.
Clearly, they were clearly all throughout history, we've been straying from these commandments. And but God is good.
Mm-hmm.
And David was actually good. David actually cried. When Absalom died, he was in grief. They brought news to David that he was, in fact, dead, and he cried. Remember, he tore his garment.
Right.
It was his son. And yet he was chasing him, and he was trying to kill him. So I feel like that's that's even reflective of how God feels about us when we stray or when we go against or, you know, we break God's heart, right? Even in our message from Fatima, that's what Our Lady said, stop offending our Lord. He's been offended so much already.
Right.
So,
and this commandment, when you go through it, it also talks about how, you know, when they're young, they're honoring you. But as you get old, it almost becomes a mutual, grace comes in where it's a mutual honoring.
Absolutely. Grace flows both ways. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His son was not honoring him.
Yeah. On the Mount of Olives, we also had the Old Testament prophecy. The prophet Zechariah identified this spot as where God would stand to initiate the resurrection of the dead. And he was anticipating the coming of Christ.
Yeah. And the ascension, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was the triumphal entry. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, starting from this mount to be hailed as a king.
Yep.
So there's a lot of things that happened on the mount. The Olivet Discourse, we're not going to jump into all of these things, but it was just fun to recall how important when the 11 disciples went up to this mount. He preached about the destruction of the temple and the future second coming.
Mm-hmm. That's in Matthew 24.
That's in Matthew 24, and that's a great read.
If you want to go read it.
If you want to go read it, yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then the betrayal and the arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Right, on the Mountain of Olives, yep.
Mm-hmm. And that's where Jesus was betrayed by Judas and arrested on the eve of his crucifixion. So it's kind of amazing that that happened there, and then 40, 50 days later, he's ascending into heaven from there. So that's, he knew all this, but it's... That's actually, for every Good Friday, there's an Easter Sunday, right? That's what Kathleen always tells us.
Right. So it's a very holy mountain.
And an Ascension Thursday, I guess, right?
Yeah. And here we are.
Yeah. And then, of course, his ascension into heaven. Yep. And the future return. Based on prophecy, Christians believe that Jesus will return to this mountain during his second coming.
Right.
So we thought that was a... important little reminder that when you're reading this gospel, the 11 disciples went up to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. So that's where Christ knew specifically that was his departure point.
And where he's coming back and where his triumph was and where he had his discourse on end times and where he was betrayed. And it's a very holy mountain.
It's a prominent. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you've ever been to Jerusalem and you have any stories, I know we were there and we had Mass there and it was beautiful.
Yep. Both spots. We were in the garden
mm-hmm.
of Gethsemane and...
And the... Yep.
And the mm-hmm. Ascension.
Yeah. And it's a very moving... It is a moving, powerful experience. And it is true that after you visit these places, when you go back and read the Gospels, it's so much easier to relate. And
they
it's easier
alive.
To understand. And they do come alive. And the Word of God is alive.
And you can put yourself there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's nice. So that is today's gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so we were saying Jesus was always honoring his father and his mother. And you see that throughout the gospels. You see it at the wedding feast of Cana. You see it as Our Lady stood at the foot of the cross. So,
and all through the gospels where he honors the father. The father, he goes away and spends time with his father.
Mm-hmm.
Wakes up early every morning and... Goes and
yeah,
he
goes a
quiet place.
Mm-hmm.
To yeah. converse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's an important part of our Catholic tradition, right? These commandments. And we talked about the fact that they are the bridge between the two tables, the Decalogue. It's the first commandment directed at human relationship, the family, and it's the only commandment accompanied by a promise.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Absolutely. And the promise... is
that you'll live long.
That you're going to live a long life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches us all about the fourth commandment also, right?
There's quite a few of
it
them
addressed,
that address.
Yeah, expressively to children and their relationship with their father and their mother. The relationship is the most universal relationship, we'll say, in humanity, right?
Mm-hmm.
It concerns the ties of kinship between members of the extended family, and it requires honor, affection, and gratitude towards elders and ancestors.
Right. So it's not just your father or mother. It's your grandparents and your
mm-hmm.
your whole line of ancestors.
Yeah.
And
ancestry.
Ancestry.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah, the divine fatherhood is the source of human fatherhood,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're both creation.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And there's bond in them.
Yes, absolutely. And then we were discussing, we actually pray about these things before we come on and do these shows. And we were asking the Lord in prayer, you know, what's the angle here, Lord? And for some reason, I kept hearing Naomi, Naomi. So we went back and we researched the story of Naomi.
Right. And Ruth.
And Ruth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's
and
our.
Oprah.
And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not that Oprah.
Yeah.
The Oprah from the Bible.
Yes. So just to give you a little recap, it was in the time of Judges. There was a famine in Bethlehem. And so Elimelech takes his wife to Naomi and their two sons to Moab, right?
Yes.
And so both sons end up marrying Moabite women.
Yes.
And the women are Oprah and Ruth.
And Ruth, yes.
So Elimelech dies, both sons die, and Naomi is left a widow in a foreign land. So that's
with
the
two
background.
Foreign daughter-in-laws.
With two foreign daughter-in-laws.
Right.
Yeah. So the beautiful part of the story is the one daughter-in-law, she encourages, when this happens, she encourages both daughters to go back home to their families, right?
Yes.
Because they're in their own land. And she said, go home to your families. And all she was going to pack up and go back to Jerusalem, to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruth was honoring her mother-in-law. She stayed very close to her. And she said, I'm not going to go back. I'm going to go with you, right?
Right. I'm not going to leave you alone.
I'm not going to leave you alone. Your God will be my God. Your land will be my land. Your family will be,
right.
You know, so.
But Oprah did.
But she went
said,
back.
Okay, I'm
she
go
said,
back
okay,
because that's
go
where
back.
You got your husband in those days.
Mm-hmm.
She said, don't stay with me. I have nothing to offer you.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess in that sense, it was where the honor is tested.
Mm-hmm.
Honor your father and mother. She's the mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And so the honor here is not tested in comfort. It was tested in trial or crisis. Because
exactly.
It would have been a crisis if you were three unwed women in
yes.
that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there had to be a man.
There had to be a man. And how are you going to support yourself and what's
right.
your livelihood? And yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we always see the family as the domestic church, right?
I didn't realize that it was Vatican II that coined the phrase domestic church for the family.
Mm-hmm. Me neither. Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense, but you didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put that together.
The family is the first community of faith. It's the school of virtue. We always talk about that. That's been discussed a lot. It's your first. I mean, it's the formation of the child. It's the formation of how they see the world, their belief system. Everything comes up.
And it's important because even in our, like these days, a lot of families depend on school.
Yeah.
Oh, they'll learn it in school.
Exactly.
But if you look back, I know in our family, I won't speak for every family, but in our family, you think
mm-hmm.
about our grandparents, our great, you can see the religious line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Handed down, the strong faith handed down through the generations.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So when they're saying also honor your elders and your ancestors as part of this commandment,
mm-hmm.
It just, again, speaks to the importance of your job as a parent.
Yeah.
To raise your children in a solid faith,
mm-hmm.
solidly in the faith,
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And teaching them things like the catechism, things like the commandments. I mean, that's a lost art in today's world. Like you said, they leave it to the schools. They leave it. A lot of parents, I would venture to say, unless they're deeply, deeply rooted in their faith, probably they wouldn't even be able to name five of the Ten Commandments, you know?
Yes. And it gets back to the whole community. Like we were saying in our last segment was on Keep Holy the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
When you're teaching the faith in the family's community, and a big part of going to church on Sunday
mm-hmm.
is supporting the community of faith.
Yeah.
And there's a lot,
yes.
there's a lot to that, to align yourself with other people, like thinking, right?
Yeah.
To learn faith, to learn hope, to learn charity, all stems from getting involved in your parish life and going to Mass on Sunday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the spiritual part of the child is a large part of the child. You worry about their physical needs. You worry about their emotional needs. You worry about their, you know, every other need that you can think of. But we sometimes fail.
But you won't always be there.
Fail to fulfill and look at their spiritual needs. That's, I mean, it's a really important thing.
It's very important because when they grow up and hard times strike.
Yeah.
If they have nothing to fall back on to lift themselves up with.
Yeah.
It's really a disservice to your child and goes against, you know, what the Lord has instructed us to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is bring them up in a community of faith.
Exactly. And have hope. And have
charitable thinking.
Charitable, yeah. And to keep your eyes, I mean, Kathleen actually always says to keep your eyes on Christ. Don't put your eyes on yourself. Keep your eyes on Christ. And that's even what Our Lady had said to her, Kathleen, you keep your eyes on me. No, you keep your eyes on my son, and I'll keep my eyes on your son.
Right.
Yeah. So it's these are important lessons, but that's a huge lesson that whole family learned, right? And that she reinforced and she lived out. And so these are, I'm sure everyone in their lifetime has a moment like that when they were down or they were stressed out or they were really in need of their faith, of some hope, of some encouragement. And you're not going to get that from a book or from a song or from a friend. You're only going to get that through the Holy Spirit and through the faith.
Because they say the communion of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is the image of the family.
Family
is in the image of that communion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Communion, community, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So Naomi was urging these daughters and the daughter-in-law to return to their own families. And as we said, the one daughter-in-law, Oprah, kisses Naomi and turns back. But Ruth, no, she clung to Naomi. She was loyal and she honored her mother-in-law, even as a widow. She said, I'm not going to have you travel by yourself, right? She knew that even that was dangerous.
Right.
So she said, I'm going with you. And
I think that she fell in love with the faith too.
Yeah,
you know,
she
like
said, "Where
Ruth
you will go,
saw
I will
the
go."
Faith in Naomi, and she, your faith will be my faith. Your God will be my God.
Yep, where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people.
And she wanted
your
to,
God will be my God.
Yeah, honor her and stay with her and protect her.
Yeah,
as we should all do for the elderly today.
Exactly, and where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything, but death parts me from you. That's actually beautiful.
That is beautiful.
And then it's almost like she understood that in marrying the brother that passed, she was marrying into the family. So she obviously took her vows and her marriage quite seriously.
Yeah, because now it was part of her ancestry
now,
too. That was
exactly.
Her family.
It was part of her family. Yep. Mm-hmm. So Ruth's oath spoken to her mother-in-law, this commandment lived it in its fullness. It's costly for her. It was voluntary for her. There was like what we just said, unconditional honor in that. So that's a beautiful. So thank you, Jesus, for that inspiration. He told us to look at Ruth and Naomi's story. And believe it or not, we're at the half hour.
Can't believe
we're gonna take a break and then we'll be back to finish our story about Ruth and Naomi.
Yes. And the fourth
Stay
commandment.
Tuned. In the fourth commandment, yeah.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, welcome back.
Welcome back.
And thank you for tuning in with us today. My name is Marta Kyle.
And I'm Tara Wolfington.
And we are happy to be your hosts today for Here I Am, Lord.
Right.
And we're here for the second half hour of the show. And in case you're just tuning in, today is Thursday, May 14th. And it is the Solemnity of the Ascension of our Lord. So it's a beautiful, special day. And Doris Kelly sponsored today's program. Doris is offering this hour of programming for the Holy Souls in Purgatory.
Thank you, Doris.
Thank you, Doris, because every
hour. It all
hour,
ties in. Everything we were saying in. Ties in. We had Fatima yesterday. We had an anniversary of Fatima.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And
she talks about sin no more.
Yep. Pray the rosary. Pray the rosary. Stop offending God.
Mm-hmm. Right. Repent. Follow the commandments.
Mm-hmm. And follow the commandments. We read the gospel.
And the Lord says the same thing.
Yeah.
Go out.
Yep. Make disciples and
proclaim
teach them
my message and mm-hmm. teach the commandments.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And in the series.
And in the series of the Ten Commandments, we are on
number four.
Number four, honor your father and your mother. And we were just reviewing that in the light of the Ruth and the Naomi story. So it's a beautiful story. That Ruth stays with her mother-in-law, Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
And even though Naomi urges both daughters to return to their own mother's houses because they all experienced, they were all widows.
Right.
So Naomi's husband dies, and so does Ruth's, and so does the
Oprah.
Mm-hmm. So you have three widows together, and Naomi, out of concern for her daughters-in-law, she said, go back to your own houses. I'm going to go back to Israel because they were living in Moab. They were Moabite women that these children married because there was a famine.
Right.
At this time in the history of the Bible.
Right.
So Elimelech, the husband who died, brought them to Moab because of the famine, just to keep his family safe. And then they all ended up dying.
And the sons end up marrying women from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful story. Ruth's oath that she speaks to her mother-in-law, right? That we mm-hmm. just said, where you go, I will go. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more. Also, that oath that is spoken there reminds us of the Blessed Mother's fiat, right? Be it done unto me according to your will, Lord. That kind of mirrors that a little bit right there. She was willing to do the will of God, and I don't even know if she knew it, right?
Right.
That was
wisdom. And it was in a voluntary, kind of a costly way.
Yeah.
Just showing her unconditional love and honor.
And commitment.
For her mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm. So as we talk about this, honor your father and your mother, it even extends beyond the relationship of parent-child or in-laws. And it extends to honor authority and even in the state. So... honoring the father and the mother, it extends to other relationships, right?
Right.
Father and mother is the principal of all legitimate authority, but you also have teachers, employers, civic rulers. They all stand in some kind of a parental relationship with us, and you're to honor that too.
Right.
Show respect.
Right.
For authority, for service, and that's something that we've seen tear up in these last few years and all through.
Fall apart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Disrespect for police.
Disrespect, yep.
Teachers, mm-hmm. really anybody in authority.
Yeah, and it's been so hard for teachers. It's been so hard for anyone who's a principal of a school, a head of a school, a teacher. To your point, the men in blue, I mean, it was that whole movement. I mean, it just really was a rough run. And it was poor messaging to the community, like taking a knee, things like that. I mean, that was there was real disrespect in all of those movements.
Right, and these people
and
are
misguided.
There.
It was misguided, mm-hmm. misinformed.
And the Lord likes order, and mm-hmm. we all live better lives if there's order.
Mm-hmm. And respect, right?
And respect, yes.
On all sides of the coin. I know there's a million different ways to argue that point.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So there's right down to the local levels, right?
Right. So they're saying that it applies to duties of those who exercise authority as well as those who benefit from it. Because we benefit when the police protect us.
Yes.
We benefit when our politicians are also following the commandments and putting the people first. And we, you know, in that right, we vote.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You need to get out and vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. It's part of having respect for this yeah. country and the laws and orders that run it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have civil obedience, right, and civil authority, and you're just going to have chaos and you're going to have ruin, and it just doesn't work.
And the people who are in those roles need to have a servant's heart.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So if they're in the right space of a servant's heart,
right,
and we're in the right space of a servant's heart and obedience to the commandments of the Lord.
Yeah, it's like a co-responsibility. Submission to authority is great, but they have a responsibility back, too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
To be
respect
moral
the citizens and to be moral. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there's responsibility on both sides of the coin. That's what
and
we're saying.
And when both sides are responsible in that way, grace flows.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And the grace is usually peace.
Yep.
Community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, respect for one another, things like that.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So these are all important things to consider when you're thinking about honoring these commandments. So
you don't always think of them as going past your mother and your father.
Right. It's easy just to.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But they do. They run deep. They run deep. Mm-hmm. So Ruth, back to Ruth and Naomi, they arrive in Bethlehem at this point of the story. The two women, when they arrive, the whole town is stirred, and Naomi wants to change her name because she's distressed, right? So she says, call me Mara. Do not call me Naomi, which is pleasant. Call me Mara, which means she was bitter. Mm-hmm. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me.
Right.
So she was down. She wasn't feeling hope-filled. But Ruth was really a beautiful daughter-in-law because she was there to support her. Even in her bitterness and grief, Ruth really remained beside Naomi. It was an honor. It was quiet. It was simple. But she was just there for her.
She was probably in grief also.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, exactly.
They all lost their husbands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
But she's honoring her in that she's older.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. And she was sad that she said, I went away full and the Lord has brought me back empty. And it's funny because they were leaving from a famine to go to be protected. And I think she was saying, you know.
Yeah.
When I left, I was full of love and joy. And I, you know.
The whole family. And
now
my family,
whole family
was together. And now
yeah.
I've lost everything.
And now I've lost everything.
And I'm sad.
Mm-hmm. It's a little bit like Job, actually. Yeah.
And her daughter-in-law recognized the grief.
Yes.
And she wasn't going to leave her alone in that grief.
Right.
And like I said, I really think she fell in love with the faith and she wanted to, she found that attractive.
Yeah.
In her mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she wanted to stay close to it.
Yeah. So she was actually, she was willing to go work, right? She asks Naomi's permission to go and glean in the fields.
Mm-hmm.
And gleaning was actually an ancient provision for the widow, the poor, the foreigner. So she was willing to roll up her sleeves. She didn't just sit there and watch her mother-in-law fade into the dust and sink into a bed and depression and stuff. She said, no, I'm going to get up.
Right.
I'm going to go provide for us. I'm going to go get provisions.
She took a servant's attitude.
She did. She said, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him whose sight, in whose sight I find favor. And she said, go, my daughter. Naomi says, go ahead, go, my daughter. So she went and she gleaned in the field after the reapers. And as it happened, she came to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. See, God's hand is always there. Kathleen just said that the other day. when she was referencing Esther. Mm-hmm. And then through her locution, Christ said to her, was I not there with Esther through the entire time, right? I was there with her the whole time. So here again, I think you can see God's hand is in this. He was with and guiding Ruth and Naomi. So Naomi was a little bit more distressed, I think, but she couldn't see that. But Ruth had some vision. Ruth was, she took the servant's heart. She was humble, and she was going to provide. She was a never give up kind of a girl.
Right.
She had gumption.
Well, she went to work. That's what.
Yeah, and she doesn't ask.
You have to rise up when you're down and get to work.
Yeah. Ruth didn't ask Naomi to fend for herself. She rises up and she goes to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And honor is not a feeling. It's a labor, and it's showing up. Showing up, rolling up your sleeves and getting down and dirty, making it happen. Because this is life, right? This
because is what gleaming happens in life. Is really sweeping up.
Yeah.
You're going in after you're going the fields in after have been picked.
Mm-hmm.
And you're really just
right
getting what you can.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it is work. It is labor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So then she goes into and finds the field of Boaz, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Boaz ends up showing kindness to Ruth. Naomi becomes a strategist and a counselor. So that's where we were talking about. There was this flow of grace that went back and forth. So Ruth showed real humility and willingness and love and steadfast loyalty, right?
And a servant's heart.
And a servant's heart.
So Naomi watches her go into a field and start gleaming.
Yeah.
That's like picking up the, scraps, if you will. Right? Yeah.
And I think
she gives her a little hope.
It actually gave Naomi a little hope.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It gave Naomi a little hope.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden she saw a light at the end of the tunnel. Wait a minute. She in my husband's cousin's field.
Exactly. Right?
I think
that's
who it was.
She remembered. See, we also talk about how easily we forget as human beings. And God has to give us little reminders.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little prompting, a little reminder. And Naomi was no stranger to that, right? She was like, aha. It was like an aha moment.
Right.
And so she instructs Ruth. She says, my daughter, should I not seek rest for you? There's that grace coming back. That it may be well with you. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself and put on your cloak. Go down to the threshing floor. Do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking.
Strategy.
We were talking about that. Like, there's a mother's wisdom for you right there.
Yeah. She knew the time.
Exactly. And it's kind of beautiful because it was the wisdom of the elders, right? So that's not something Ruth would have known. And Ruth was respectful of the fact that she was her mother-in-law, she was her elder, and she did exactly what Naomi told her to do. Mm-hmm. She wasn't flippant. She wasn't like, I'll figure this out for myself. Move over now that we're here. She was very beautifully subservient, and she did have a servant's heart.
She did.
Mm-hmm. And she was humble, and she listened. She listened to the instruction that she was given from Naomi.
Right. She was obeying
very respectful.
The parent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was honoring and obeying.
Mm-hmm.
So Naomi, who had arrived, calling herself bitterness, she's now the source of wisdom for Ruth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the one who honored begins to honor in return. Grace flows in both directions.
Right.
So this is actually a really cool story because the promise of the fourth commandment is fulfilled here. We can see, we said that this fourth commandment is the only one that comes with a promise that you will have a long life lived in the land. Right. If you honor your father and your mother, God promises you a long life. In the land.
Mm-hmm. And she's back in her land.
She's back in her land.
Mm-hmm.
And see how good God is? Because when we prayed about this commandment, we said, give us a direction. What are we doing? You know, what's the angle here? And he actually pointed us right to this story.
Which, I mean, I wouldn't likely go right to that story.
No, me neither.
Honor your father and mother.
No, I wouldn't have either. Mm-mm. I would have gone to the Blessed Mother, and I would have gone many other places, but this is where the Lord took us today.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big treat for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So the promise is fulfilled that your days may be long in the land. It's a covenant promise to the people and, again, societies that honor their elders and transmit wisdom to protect the vulnerable, hold the aged with dignity. They are societies with shalom. They are societies with peace. The fourth commandment is the cornerstone of civilization.
Correct.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's actually amazing. And we discovered that, so Boaz redeems the land and he ends up taking Ruth as his wife. So that's a beautiful fulfillment of that prophecy, because now Naomi, who was a widow, she lost her husband. She thought she was going to just send her daughter-in-laws back. Now she has her daughter with her, and
there's a marriage.
There's a marriage,
which in those days, you know, solidifies your existence if you're a woman.
Yeah. And then Ruth has a baby, right?
Yeah.
She conceives and she bears a son, Obed. How beautiful is that?
Yeah.
So it's now really she has fantastic. A grandson. So now she's filled with joy. She has a grandson. Naomi took the child, laid him on her lap, and became his nurse.
Granny nanny, I call it.
Granny nanny.
Granny nanny.
See? It's biblical. So all of you granny nannies out there, you can just pat yourselves on the back, because you're doing right. You're doing right.
Naomi.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
she had started as bitterness.
Yes.
And all of a sudden she finds herself in a new family.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's all come back around.
God is
there's
so
a son.
Good. Yes, there's a
there's
son.
There's a son. And the
women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, who was
the father of David.
Yeah, how about it? So then we get into the lineage of Christ.
Yeah.
I found this so unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It was so unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So Obed to Jesse, Jesse to David, David down to Jesus. And you can read that in the first chapter of Matthew 1:5. So Ruth's fidelity ran forward through history until it reached the Savior. How about that? Her fiat, her yes. So that's where it mirrors
her
the Blessed
heart.
Mother's yes, her servant's heart, her be it done unto me according to your will. You know, it's
right.
Very
honoring her father and mother.
Yeah. And honoring.
And her husband. She was really honoring her husband as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By taking care of his mother.
Yeah. So this commandment runs so deep. It's actually, I don't know why I'm always amazed at these things myself, but I just am. It really runs deep. It's a beautiful commandment.
So her, yes, her fiat, and it didn't just strengthen and rebuild the family. It reshaped the history of the world.
The history of the world.
If she had said no and went back, then there would, we would have been missing a person in the lineage of Christ.
Yeah. It would have been a very different story, right?
Yes.
It turned out differently.
Yes.
Yeah. So how beautiful is that? Yeah.
So that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. I really think she fell in love with the faith by watching Naomi.
Yeah. Which is actually a beautiful testimony to how we can just be witnesses. So even in your own household, with honor your father and your mother, and we were saying the parents are the first teachers. Clearly, Naomi was a beautiful witness to Ruth.
Yes.
And she had an open heart to receive that, and she took that into her own heart, and she didn't want to lose that. And she was, it's beautiful.
She ended up honoring her as the grandmother.
Yeah.
Not just the mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had the son.
I know.
Who she could shape in the faith.
Exactly.
Who became part of the lineage. Obed to Jesse to David to Jesus.
I was really moved by this whole story. I don't know if anyone else out there is finding
it. Not that we haven't read it before.
No, but the connection.
But it's in a new light.
It's in a new light. I was like, wow, yeah.
Because our faith is so rich.
It's so rich, and God is so faithful.
You can read the same thing 10 times and get a
new message out of it.
Message.
Completely different message.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land. And that the Lord your God is giving you. He's faithful. He's with us. I say it again.
So her
again.
Days are long in the land because she ends up in the whole lineage of Jesus.
Yeah.
Not just her physical days, but the days of the family.
And clearly she didn't know that when she was giving her yes. She had no idea what God's plan was. She couldn't see any of this. She didn't, right?
And sometimes in life when you're in a state of
duress or
misery,
you have your Job moments,
right?
Yeah,
right.
Now we can call them our Naomi moments.
Our Naomi moments. You don't know what's coming next. And
yeah.
You know.
And you can't see. Then you just have to have trust and faith.
And a servant's heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And love. So they talk about in the end, the blessing went both ways.
Yeah.
Because first it was Ruth blessing Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Naomi saw her servant's heart and she's out there gleaming the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then her heart starts to move, and she says, wait a minute, you're a beautiful girl. Let's, you know,
yes,
wash your face, and let's go down here. Let me tell you how to do this. And then mm-hmm. she gets married, and then they, you know, it renews her hope. It gives her something to get up and live for again, and then she ends up having a grandchild.
Yeah. It's a really beautiful story. Yeah.
So the whole thing is honoring your mother and your father, but your ancestry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it shows the faith ends up running long and strong through that lineage.
And how important it is, your example that you set, because that's clearly where Ruth was inspired to stay with her. If Naomi was a wretched mother-in-law, she would have turned back and said, see you later. I'm out of here.
Right. I'm going back to my home.
Yeah. I think I'll take a hall pass and have a nice trip.
I'm out of here with
but
Oprah.
But she wasn't willing to let her go by herself and travel alone. I mean, she really...
Right, Ruth in her sadness really, and in her, yeah, mm-hmm. she was really honoring her commitment to the family.
Yeah, and she even put her own grief aside to help Naomi, right?
Yes.
Which is another huge important lesson.
A servant's heart.
Yeah, taking your eyes, she took her eyes off herself, and she put them on, in this case, on Naomi, but also on God.
Right.
Yeah.
Not that you shouldn't grieve if you have a grief.
No, but this was like when they were all in it together, they all had a common experience. And they all could have gone home and sulked in their soup and had their own pity party for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And no one would have blamed them for it, right?
Right.
But that Ruth, she was good. She took the high road.
And she had love.
Yeah.
Right?
Beautiful.
Goes back to the gospel.
Yeah, absolutely.
I taught you love. Go with love. Yeah. My commandments. Everything flows out of love.
Yeah. And it shows the mercy of God and the hand of God. He's always with us. And that you can trust him no matter what's going on in our worlds, you can trust, right? So the fourth commandment is a fabulously powerful commandment, and you get to understand a little bit of like the thinking of God and maybe even a little bit of the why he's instructing us to live our lives according to these 10 commandments. Because
mm-hmm.
when life comes at you, because it will and it always does, when you follow these commandments, you're going to come out on top.
And he's saying, think generationally.
Yeah.
So, you know, look past today.
Yeah. And it's not going to prevent bad things from happening. They're always going to happen, but he's going to guide you through them so that you can come out of them clean and, you know.
Right.
Unscathed, right?
So basically the fourth commandment is the first of the last six that talk about our relationships with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And our relationships with authority, with the domestic church.
Yep.
That we're a communion of Christian people.
Yeah.
Right? That the family is the cell of the social life.
Yeah.
And they didn't break that bond between each other. They kept the bond.
Yes.
Of family and social. Where are we going together? How are we living in this society?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The
Absolutely.
Duty to care for the young, the old, the sick, the poor.
Yeah. Which is beautiful because that's a lost art today, too. A lot of even the elderly people have this feeling of they don't want to be a burden on somebody. And so they make
decisions. And the
children
have a feeling that they are a burden.
So. Exactly. So the messaging has gotten a little bit skewed.
Right.
We got to get back to the original messaging.
We lost a little bit of the grace.
We lost, yeah.
We need Ruth.
Yeah, we do need Ruth.
Ruth.
Intercede for us, Ruth.
Because when it goes both ways, you raise them in the right way of the Lord and his commandments, and then they come back and treat you in the same respect and dignity of the Lord's commandments, a grace flows.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. And then the family spends generations. It affects generations
moving forward. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, unfortunately, that brings you into a lot of other areas, too, where... while the Lord is saying, respect authority, do what you're told, basically, there's limits to that, too. Obviously, if you're in
yes,
a relationship where someone's not
right,
behaving in the commandment way, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. You're not obliged to obedience of a sinful situation, right?
Right.
And you don't have to listen go back to into a danger. Commands. Yeah, a dangerous relationship or anything like that. Yeah, God's not asking that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, God doesn't want you harmed or in danger. He doesn't want to create
exactly
bitterness and hatred in your heart. You know, he does want you to forgive, to mm-hmm. give you internal freedom, right? Mm-hmm. And so that you can move on to a different relationship. But all that being said, that's all part of something going askew in the give and take of the commandment.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
Long life on the land,
mm-hmm.
if
yeah.
you will.
Yeah. So respect. Parents have to respect their children as people. Children have to respect their families. There's forgiveness within the family. And, you know.
So the only limit on obedience is immorality.
Yeah, exactly.
But the adult children do have a duty to their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. And authority,
mm-hmm.
and any kind of authority, civil
just
authority.
Just as a gratitude for them giving us life, giving us faith,
mm-hmm.
continuing the lineage.
Yeah.
Raising you. I mean, we know we're parents. The kids don't realize till they become parents.
Exactly. You have to grow in knowledge and grow in...
To be a parent and everything that your parents do.
Mm-hmm. And they think they know, but they really don't know yet.
And as your kids grow, it turns too. All of a sudden, your kids are grown and you have to respect them and you have to respect maybe their interests aren't what, you know, you want them to be a lawyer, but they want to be a fireman. You know, you have to sort of respect where life is taking them as well. Right?
Absolutely. Yep. So this was a beautiful little lesson the Lord gave us today. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. We only have 2 minutes left. And all day I've been wanting to say this little antiphon. Men of Galilee, why are you looking up into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up into heaven will return in the same way. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's been great being with you today.
Yes.
We hope you have a wonderful remainder of your day, the solemnity of the Ascension. And don't forget to go back and read up on any of these anything that touched you today or touched your heart. And thank you again, Doris, for your beautiful sponsorship. It means the world to the programming, as you know. Without your help, this radio would be
silenced.
So yeah.
Stay tuned for Dr. Anton Raimondo.
Yes, Dr. Anton Raimondo is up next.
Coming up next. And
yep, he always has a beautiful show planned.
Don't forget to look for the Eucharistic Congress Walk, the Cabrini Way. Mm-hmm. It'll be up on the website where you can see the movie.
Yeah.
Everything that Zach and Rich told us last week, and we thank them for being here.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be back next week with commandment number five. High five.
We'll see where the Lord takes us through that commandment.
Yes.
So thank you. God bless.
God bless.
And have a great rest of your week.
Join us again next week as we explore scripture reflections, personal stories, and practical encouragement, leading us to say, "Yes, here I am, Lord."